Well, I'm going to take about 10 minutes to give an introduction, talk a little bit about purpose. You have a manual or handout, and some of what I'll say will, most of what I'll say will be in here, but some of the things I'll say won't be in here, so you could take notes. If you don't get everything down, it's all right. We should have pretty good numbers of attendance, especially if you sign in, and we're going to be taping this, and our goal is to later on be able to get you the CD so that you can go back and look at it. So take good notes, and if you don't, it'll be fine. Let's talk introduction for a few minutes and purpose. The success in this, and I'll let you know when we get to your manual, the success of any organization rises or falls based on the leadership of that organization. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Failures of an organization to achieve desired results often lie in the mistakes of leadership. Agree with that?
Yes.
You want me to say it again? Did you get it?
Yes.
Okay, give me some response. You got it?
Yes.
Some say you didn't get it. Okay. The first statement was this: the success of any organization rises or falls based on the leadership of that organization. Give me a nod, a grunt, or something. Okay. Second statement: failures of an organization to achieve desired results often lie in mistakes of leadership. You agree? Okay. Here's another statement. Here at Faith Chapel, we have and are enjoying a level of success and productivity, and a large reason for the level of success that we're enjoying right now is you. So turn to your neighbor, point at him, and say, it's because of you. However, now we know God is a source, but he uses people. However, we have a worldwide calling, and I sense a huge harvest ready to enter. Oh, I got that in my spirit. A huge harvest of people, resources, influence. A door is opening to us, and we have to be ready to lead at another level. See, the level of leadership that we have now brought us to this point. But to get to the next level, we have to have a different, higher, more intense level of leadership. It is my responsibility as CEO to emphasize and establish a culture of leadership development in our organization, and I'm beginning the process this year in two primary areas. Number one, I'm leading all of our full-time employees in an intense one-half-day leadership development track twice a month. That's every other week, the entire year. Every person that works here full-time, every other week, will spend a half a day in leadership training and development. The second part of my phase is to meet with all of you quarterly until we can meet more regularly. We can't be successful with just employees. Your development, your role, your position is equally important. We could do everything we want to do down here every day, but if we don't have you leading and doing what you're doing, we cannot be successful. Let's talk purpose for a moment. Purpose. What is the purpose for these quarterly meetings? A quarterly meeting for half a day. Number one, I got four purposes. I'll give them to you, come back and give you a little insight to them. Number one, connect. Say connect.
Connect.
Number two, appreciate.
Appreciate.
Number three, inform.
Inform.
And number four, develop. My purpose in drawing all of you here today, and I'm so thankful I'm just so thankful that you came. I'm just so thankful that you made the sacrifice and the commitment to come out. I'm just so happy. In fact, I think you probably could tell that I was kind of excited. I just got kind of thrilled looking in your face. So the first thing is I want to connect with you. You're doing an amazing job, but many of you I don't see a lot of. You're in different areas, and you're doing different things that are critical to our success, but I don't personally have an opportunity to interact with you. I wanted a time where I could connect with you, but also you could connect with each other, and we connect with each other, because I'm quite sure you saw people here, and you said, oh, I didn't know these people were in leadership. We get here, and we eat breakfast and fellowship, and I think I hugged about 90% of everybody in here, and if I didn't hug you, I can hug you during the break if you want to. I can hug you after the break if you like to, but about 90% of you. So I wanted, secondly, to appreciate you. Once a quarter, I just wanted to look you in the face and say, listen, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. If anybody say, Mike, you're doing a good job, or Pastor, you're doing a good job, it's because of everything you're doing. So I just wanted a quarter, just three or four times a year, to look you in the face and say thank you. Thirdly, information. Wanted to update you. Mike will come, and we wanted to make sure that we no longer be at a position where we don't know what's going on. We just want you to know what's going on. So it's hopefully it'd be informational, and then finally wanted to develop you. Wanted to take the time for me to pour my life into you and develop you as a leader. But listen, if you listen and apply yourself and listen out of all of your ears, it's not going to just develop you for Faith Chapel. Oh, it's going to help you at home. I mean, it's going to help you in your job, your business, whatever. It's going to be a blessing for you. Amen. So you know I like seven. I'm just in my introduction, okay? I like seven. Say seven.
Seven.
None of this is in your bulletin. I mean, in your handout. So I'm going to give it to you right quick because I'm in my introduction. Seven things about leaders and leadership. Number one, the principles of good leadership can be learned. That's good news. I said the principles of what kind of leadership? Good leadership can be learned. Number two, you have an enormous capacity to be a great leader. Oh, that's a good statement. I said you have an enormous capacity, regardless to where you are. Paul was a very educated man. Peter wasn't as educated. So whether you have great education, little education, I am telling you, you have enormous capacity to be a great leader. How many of you are born again? You got the nature of Jesus on the inside of you. If you're born again, you got the great and mighty, wonderful Holy Spirit, who's the greatest leader in the earth today, living on the inside of you. So you have an enormous capacity to be a great leader. Say that. I have
an enormous capacity.
To be a great leader. Number three, great leaders are great thinkers. Great leaders are great thinkers. They think strategically. What is thinking strategically? Thinking strategically is thinking beyond the here and the now. Thinking beyond the here and the now. One of my goals in these sessions is to help you, develop you to think. Because leaders are great thinkers. Number four, leaders understand how followers think, but they don't think like followers. Come on, say, I'm a leader. Leaders understand how followers think, but they don't think like followers. Amen. We've all heard the saying that hindsight is 20/20, right? That simply means that after an event has taken place, we can see it clearly. Great leaders operate, and I coined the statement, before sight. Great leaders don't operate out of hindsight. They operate out of before sight. Great leaders think through before the events happen. Number five, great leaders connect with people through relationship because it is relationship that creates trust in the leader. Great leaders connect with people through relationship because it is relationship that creates trust in the leader. Number six, the true measure of the quality of your leadership, the true measure of the quality of your leadership is the well-being, growth, and development of those you lead. If you want to know what the true measure of the quality of your leadership, and leaders are over people, then you look at the well-being, you look at the growth and the development of the people led. So when I look at you and I determine the character and the quality of your leadership, I'm not just looking at what you achieve. I'm looking at the growth and the development and the well-being of the people who follow you. Then number seven, it is your resolve or lack of resolve to manage pressure that will give definition to your leadership. It is your resolve or lack of resolve that will give to manage pressure that will give definition to your leadership. Leadership and pressure is synonymous. In other words, they're married. I said leadership and pressure is married. So the resolve you have to manage pressure or the lack of resolve you have to manage pressure will give definition to your leadership. People pressure, relationship pressure, resource pressure, money pressure, decision-making pressure, risk-taking pressures, it's all a part of leadership. If you don't want pressure, you can't lead. Because the two are synonymous. But that's why we lead. Come on, say, that's why we lead. Because we handle pressure. You said that kind of slow. I mean, that was just not good at all. See, that's why we lead, because we handle pressure. That's why you have that title. You're the leader. See, everybody behind you. You handle the money pressure. You handle the decision-making pressure. You handle the risk-taking pressure. That's why you're the leader. I agree with that. Okay. That's my introduction. Okay. That's my introduction. That's my introduction. Will you put 30 minutes on the clock? Look at this. Turn in your manual to this. Can you see that page? Everybody see that page? Y'all don't have color on y'all's? That's why I'm the leader. That's it. That's what I'm saying. See, leaders understand how followers think. But they don't think like followers. See, I'm the leader. Y'all got little black and white stuff. Okay. So we do know who the leader. Okay. Today's workshop is about planning. You can start it. Today's workshop is about planning. Say planning.
Planning.
Well, why did you choose planning? Well, it's the first of the year. There are a lot of things that we have to talk about when we talk about leadership. So we could have started a lot of places, but I wanted to start with you and start with all the people that are full-time about planning because it's the first of the year. But beyond that, the scripture says in Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So planning, say planning, is my responsibility. See, planning is your responsibility. Planning is not God's responsibility. God will give direction to you, but he's not going to give direction to you until you plan. So you have to have a plan. So the mandate I got from the Spirit of God in August of 2002 was to plan for everything. Plan for everything. And the second mandate that I got was to keep it simple. Yes. Keep it simple. So we're going to talk about strategic planning. And I know many of you are involved in that kind of thing on your jobs. And it can be very complicated. It can be very deep. I imagine some of you have taken classes on it. Maybe you've instructed people. Maybe you do it on your job. And so it could be extremely deep. But my mandate is to keep it simple. So for those of you that this may be really simple, it's because I want everybody to have some understanding of planning. So my goal was to come up with a process whereby we could all think the same way and yet at the same time think strategically, and it'd be simple enough for everybody to be able to get it. Come on, say, I'm going to get it. Okay, now, if you look at just those three circles, you see that strategic planning has three components. How many components?
Three.
You always start out with an objective. And here, please, 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 don't limit your thinking to just Faith Chapel and what you do here. Think about your home. Think about your job. Think about your business. What I'm teaching today, you need this everywhere. You need to plan everywhere. So everything begins with an objective. An objective. The second component is that I have to have a strategy. I have an objective, I have a strategy. Once I have an objective and a strategy, then I must execute. That's the three components. Now turn over to page 2. Page 2. Here's a simple definition. Strategic planning, I have a strategic planning overview. You see that? You with me? Strategic planning is the process of developing a roadmap, recipe or framework for the organization with the purpose of establishing direction and focus. So when I say the organization, I'm talking about Faith Chapel Christian Center, but you're going to plug in Faith Chapel, you're going to plug in your home, you're going to plug in your business, plug in your job. So it is a roadmap, it is a recipe. When we talk about strategic planning, it is a framework. As I said earlier, there are three components. There's the objective, which is the target. There's the plan, there's the strategy, which is the plan. And then the execution is your commitment to carry that out. Now, looking at the overview, I want to say this, that we're giving you information, but all the information in your binder I'm not going to cover. And I can't cover it because we have limited time, so I'm not going to be able to cover everything. I will be able to cover objectives. I will be able to cover strategy and execution, all three areas, but some areas I won't go as in-depth. I'll go a little more in-depth with those that I'm meeting with every other week because we have time to do it, but I'm trusting them to drive everything that we get down to you, but I want you to have an overview of it. So when we talk about the objectives, You have to identify, I'm still on that overview. You have to identify, we're going to spend most of our time talking about identifying. Once you identify what your objective is, your target, your goal, what you're trying to achieve, then you need to limit the number of objectives, because if you set too many, you're going to lose focus. I talk about that on page 6. You don't have to turn, but I'm telling you, on page 6, peak performers don't try to do too many things. So you got to limit them, and then you have to prioritize your objectives. In other words, establish some degree of order, which is first, which is of highest importance, which is second, which is third, so forth and so on. So on page 6, here again, you don't have to turn. I'm putting it in your back, in your thing, so you can look at it. On page 6, I give you 3 perspectives to view your objectives from. I also give you a formula for prioritizing. There is a formula, and it's simple. Just 6 questions that you're going to be asking. And when you ask those questions, the answer to those questions will help you to strategically, systematically set some priorities for your objectives. And then finally, you have to evaluate your objectives. In other words, are they SMART objectives? Are they specific, measurable, attainable, and relevant and timely? Here again, that's in the binder. Come on, say it's in the binder. That's on pages 7-9. Now, I'm trusting you. Turn to the next page. I'm trusting you to take the manual and study it. I'm trusting you to keep it, embellish it however you want to embellish it, and then when we come back the next quarter, I'm trusting you to bring it back. We're going to add more information to it, and we're just going to keep growing that way, okay? So, I was telling those that we're working with here at the church is that you're going to get out of anything what you put in it. You see what I'm saying? If you put something in it, apply yourself, it'll do you great, great good if you apply yourself, and it'll spill over into your personal life. So an objective, I'm on page 3. We're dealing with that first part. In strategic planning, we got to identify our objectives. Creative initiatives that the organization seeks to reach. Okay, what are we trying to reach? Mike talked about 3 areas we're trying to reach. We want to develop a growth track. We want to develop the journey. We want to enhance our Sunday morning services. And you'll notice that most of the things that we're working on this year are infrastructure things, because we believe we're called to develop churches, but in order to develop churches, we got to make sure that the headquarters church has the right infrastructure in place. So what are we trying to achieve? What are you trying to do in your home? Where are you trying to take? What are you trying to do with your marriage? I mean, what's your goal for your objective for your marriage, your objective in your career? What is your objective? You're in business. Okay, where is that business? What are you trying to achieve? That's your objective. I wanted to think, okay, it's one thing to say we got to identify our objectives, but I wanted to kind of come up with some keys to identifying them. This is not an exhaustive list. It's just just things that I came up with. So I came up with 7. You know I like 7. So I came up with 7 ways to establish an initiative or an objective. Number 1, objectives and initiatives should always be consistent with and facilitate the vision, the mission, and the values. The vision of Faith Chapel Christian Center has been summarized in 2 words, just be. Just be relates, number 1, to who we want to become. So we want to become worship. our lives of worship. We want to become the Word made flesh. We want to become a witness. Just Be also relates to what we want to do. What we want to do is grow people up. We want to grow people up to just be. Whatever God called them to be, we want to grow them up to just be. So we have a vision. We have a mission state. Faith Chapel is a ministry of excellence, impacting nations with a practical message of faith, empowering word-hungry people to experience and exemplify the God quality of life. So ministry of excellence. Now, if you were in other sessions, don't show how smart you are. I got some other folk I'm trying to bring along too. Ministry of excellence implies what? It is our standard. Say standard.
Standard.
Impacting nations implies what? The scope of our ministry. What the practical message of faith is what? It's our method, isn't it? It's our method. Practical message of faith, empowering word hungry, is what? Our target audience, right? To experience and exemplify the God quality of is our objectives, right? So we have a mission, we have a vision, we have a mission, and we have core values. We value, number one, the Word of God. We value what? People. We value what?
Teamwork.
And we value what?
Excellence.
We value excellence. So if you're going to set some objectives, I think every home should have a vision. If you're in business, you should have some kind of vision. And you should have some kind of mission or purpose for it. And then you should have some core values that you're going to operate within the framework. So when we set objectives, they should be consistent with our vision, our mission, and our values. And they should facilitate, help us to carry out the mission, the vision, mission, and values. So that's one criteria that we use. The second criteria is prayer. Prayer. Can anybody tell me why we should include prayer as one of the ways we identify our objectives? It's a platform. I mean, I know that's good. That's what we said. But what? Huh? We want wisdom from God. The scripture says, "In all our ways, to what? And He'll do what?" So prayer should always be a part of what we're trying to do. Amen. Always want to pray. We want to always pray. We don't want to take it for granted that we have enough sense to know what we need to do and not pray. We want to always acknowledge Him because He can see things that we can't see. Amen. And we need His direction. I think that's pretty clear. Number three, I put a mandate from God. Mandates from God. We should always consider mandates from God. Over the years, you've heard me share mandates that God gave us a mandate to build the sanctuary dome. God gave us a mandate to do the activity center. God gave us a mandate to assist the church in smaller units rather than larger ones. That's small groups. God gave us a mandate to establish Living Word Church. God gave us a mandate for TV. And just recently, this month, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I just heard two words. And we hadn't done anything with this. I just heard two words. I woke up and I heard the Holy Ghost say, go cyber. G-O-C-Y-B-E-R. Go cyber. I took that to be a mandate. That is something that God is concerned about in terms of our organization. Can anybody tell me why it's important when we establish objectives to think about mandates from God? What difference does it make? Come on. Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Is it my anchor?
So that His will and purpose is being established.
So that what?
His will
We want his will to be established. Because we can have a will. Let me see how smart you are. If we get a mandate from God, how is that going to impact our prioritization? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm on the clock now. I'm on the clock. If we get a mandate from God, how is that going to impact our prioritization? I heard somebody over here say it. It's going to elevate it. Does that make sense? No matter what we think about it, if God gives us a mandate, then it's going to elevate it as it relates to our priorities. So notice we consider our priorities, vision, mission, values, prayer, mandates from God. And then number four, directives from those in authority. Most of you have somebody you're reporting to, right? Well, initiatives, objectives will come from people that you're under. They're going to come, some of them will come from people that you're under. And we all submit to authority, right? Amen. We all submit to authority. There may be things that the board of directors say that, well, I think this needs to happen because the CEO is submitted to the board of directors. So they may see certain things that they like to see happen in the organizational side. That's from those in authority. So some of our objectives come from those in authority. Then number five is team collaboration. Say team collaboration.
Team collaboration.
I want to say something that I'm trying to do. And this puts pressure on all of us to do it. I want a collaborative environment. I want a collaborative environment. And I'm telling people that report to me to follow how I do it. I don't think good leadership is walking in to people that's following you and just handing them directives. This is what I want you to do. And then people in leadership just go do it. I don't think that's good leadership. I think leadership involves collaboration. I think that there should be some collaboration when it comes to goal setting. It should be some collaboration when it comes to initiative things that we're going to do. Because leaders are thinkers. They're not just folk that carry out what we want them to do. And leaders, most of the time, are on the ground level so they can see things that we can't always see. So we need a collaborative environment where there's give and take. I have some insight. You have some insight. You get some buy-in. I get some buy-in. We put it all together. We're on the same page. And people tend to follow better when they have some insight to it. They have some investment in it. Does that make sense to anybody? So much of our initiatives will come from team collaboration. God really doesn't tell me everything to do. I mean, he doesn't give, everything is not a mandate. And here's another thing I've learned about the Lord. Even when he gives mandates, he don't always tell you how to do it.
My Lord, come on now.
You know, think about it. The Lord said to me, go cyber. Well, for me, I got to go to the dictionary and find out what that is. So what I did, I went to Michael. I said, what does that mean to you? I went to Jermaine. What does that mean to you? I'm throwing it out there to you. I know you're going to give me some feedback. It's a collaborative thing because God expects us to use our brain. He doesn't tell us everything to do. So some of it comes just out of team collaboration. Then number six, research and analysis. Melinda is spearheading the growth track. And I know her process. I know what she's going to do. She's going to start researching and gathering information, and she's going to come up with different models and stuff like that. But she can't do it in a vacuum. She just can't go somewhere and do it. She got to pass that thing around, and we got to talk about that. And then we may see great models that we need to tweak. So sometimes they come out of research analysis. And then number seven is what I like to spend the most time on is a SWOT analysis. Say SWOT analysis. Now, this right here can make the difference between your home life, your marriage life, your business being successful, the church being successful, but it has to be something that you don't just know, but it's something you do. Say SWOT analysis.
SWOT analysis.
Each one of these words, you see the picture there? Each one of these words represents something. The S represents strengths. The W represents weaknesses. The O represents opportunities. And the T represents threats. You can take this and establish objectives for your marriage, your family life, your career. In fact, we did it on us. You need to do a SWOT analysis on yourself.
Amen.
You need to do one on yourself. Amen. You in business, you need to do a SWOT analysis on your business.
Amen.
We're gonna do one on the church together in a few minutes. We're gonna do one on the church together in just a few minutes. The S stands for strengths. So whether it's on an individual level, whether it's on a corporate level, whether it's a church, a home, or what, we want to talk about and evaluate, okay, what are my strengths? What do we do well?
Yes, sir.
We need to know that. You need to know what you do well. What are you doing well in your marriage? You need to know what you do well. What are the unique resources you have? The unique resources you have. In marriage, maybe the unique resources you have, both of y'all are saved. And both of y'all got the Holy Ghost. That's pretty unique. But you got to know what resources you have. What do others see as strengths in you? When other folk look at Faith Chapel, what do they consider to be a strength? Where are we very healthy? What are the positive things about my leadership? What's positive about it? Strengths. Secondly, we have to evaluate weaknesses, which most people don't do. Or they do it in such a way where they end up condemned and don't take it any further. But whether it's an individual leadership, whether it's a corporation or church or business or a home, I've got to know where we're weak at. And we've got to be honest with ourselves. When we get ready to do this, and Melinda and Stephanie lead us in this SWOT analysis about Faith Chapel, the organization, be what they call brutally frank. I mean, just be honest about it, because we can't grow if we don't evaluate where we're weak as an organization. Where are you weak as a leader? Where are you weak in your marriage? What can we improve? Talking about weaknesses. What can we improve? Where are we struggling? Are y'all following me?
Yeah.
Where are we struggling? Where are we under-resourced? What would others see as a weakness in Faith Chapel? What do others see as a weakness in Pastor Mike's leadership? I need to know that. That's why I'm pushing very hard, very hard, very hard that we establish feedback systems, 360s, find out what folk who following us think. Great leaders want to know what the people think. You need to know what those folk think about your leadership. You can have your head in the sand. You could be walking and think you're marvelous.
Right, but that's good, Pastor.
And everybody else think you're a micromanager, you won't delegate and all that. You need to know what the people think that's following you. So I'm encouraging everybody. Now, we want to do it in a systematic way in terms of the corporation, in terms of the church. But if you're over somebody, come up with your own little survey. Come up with you a survey and give it to your people, the people that's under you. Give it to them people and ask questions. And don't get offended. Get your little feelings hurt and all that. You don't want to pray. You're not trying to get a praise report. You want to be a better leader. And leaders connect the people through relationship. Because people trust people that have a relationship. And if I'm honest and I come to Johnny and say, tell me. What do you think I'm strong? Tell me. What do you think I'm weak? If I give her the liberty to do that, and then she see me try to improve, I've connected with her. Now she trusts me. Because she know I want to be better. So we can't be insecure. We got to get feedback. Come on, say feedback.
Feedback.
Don't wait for us to get everything in place. Come on with your own little survey and hand it to your people, the people that follow. You're going to learn a whole lot from that survey.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you rather handle it yourself than it blowing up, right?
Yes.
It is absolutely wisdom. Number three, the O stands for opportunities. So what opportunities are open to us? What opportunities are open to us? What trends can we take advantage of? How can we expand? What unmet needs can be met by us? What new approach can we take? Opportunities. You know, Sharonita's helping me to get more computer literate, you know, and I got my iPad and stuff like that. So I'm growing. I got my iPad. I'm handling it and stuff like that. But the moment the Lord said, go cyber, I went to my dictionary. The moment you heard it, you immediately thought, right? That's why I have to find out what you think. You'll tell me. She said she'll tell me. But that's where collaboration is so important, because we don't all know everything. But I do think, just being as smart as I am, I do think that the Spirit of God sees opportunities that we're not taking advantage of. Now, that's really what I sense, that there are some opportunities in that world that we need to move out into. And if you have a prayer life, the Spirit of God will be very practical with you. Threats. Finally, threats. You need to evaluate threats. What external factors can have a negative impact on us? Sometimes it can be external factors. We can be wanting to grow the church and folk moving out the community. We need to consider that. We may want to be building somewhere and folk moving out of that area. See, there are external factors that can impact our decision making, can impact us in a negative way. We need to know what threats can have a negative impact. What trends can do us harm? I had a sister came up to me. This is the way she said it. This is the way she said it. I didn't say it. This is the way she said it. Sunday she came up to me and she said, Pastor, money is just walking away. What she was talking about is the long lines we have with folk getting tapes, trying to get tapes. What threats, this is the last statement, but it's an important statement. What threats do our weaknesses expose us to? See, some threats are external. Some threats may be internal. Some threats may be inner. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes our own leadership style can be undermining us. Amen. Sometimes it may not be some outside of us. It may be our own attitude. It may be our own personality that we need to adjust, because if we don't adjust it, it will end up being a threat to our effectiveness. Does that make sense to anybody? Let me ask a question. We're getting ready to do an exercise, but let me ask you a question. Did anybody get anything out of that?
Yes.
Was that practical? You think you could use that at home?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can? Well, I'm finished.
Okay.
We on objectives. We're going to do an exercise. Then we're going to talk strategy next. Y'all give me a hand or something. Come on. Frank.
All right, Pastor has gave us an excellent beginning to our particular program today on strategic planning. We're in the strategy phase where we have to decide what are we going to focus on, what will be our initiatives. And he gave us 7 ways that we can identify our initiatives, but we ended with the SWOT analysis. So now we want to add some practicality to this. How does this look? How can we really do this? So us as leaders, we're going to do Faith Chapel Christian Center. So go ahead and roll in your mind. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? Now that we know what those are, we're going to practice this, and we're going to put ourselves to the test. All right, so if you would, we're going to start with strengths. Where are we strong? And if you can turn to page 5. Page 5 in your binder. We can follow along with those and ask ourselves these questions as we're thinking about where is Faith Chapel strong. So Pastor Mike talked about what do we do well, where are we rock solid, where are we on the top of our game. And if you would, this is participatory and we are on the clock. So when you have what you want to say, please raise your hand and we'll start with strengths. Yes, ma'am, speak loud. She says our greatest strength right now, in her opinion, is the ministry of the word, our teaching aspect. All right, I'm sorry. Sure, yeah. We're still under strengths. Numbers are the number of people that we have. Yes, ma'am. Our commitment to excellence.
Outreach.
Unique facilities. I have a hand in the back. Can you shout? Our love for people, and yes, ma'am, our vision partners, children's ministry, the whole thing. Yes, sir. Finances are okay. Yes, ma'am. Positive leadership. Any other strengths before we move on? Training and development. Ooh, that's my area. All right, now we're going to move to our weaknesses, okay? It's a lot of fun to look at where are we strong, but now we're going to take a hard look at ourselves so we can improve. Where are we weak? What do we need to work on? Communication.
Parking.
I saw a hand with a blue shirt in the back. Yes, ma'am. Utilizing and leveraging the gifts and talents that we already have in our congregation, yes. The community perspective, we need to do a better job at getting that, okay. Am I missing anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes our structure can be a
hindrance. Okay, so our internal structure, we need to improve. Possibly processes and procedures. Adapting to change. Connecting people. Yes, ma'am, in the back.
Continue when we start something. Don't start, stop.
follow-through, our follow-through on our programs. And anyone else before I move on? Yes. Right. Taking advantage of the different modes and opportunities ingrained within technology. Yes, sir. How we handle first-time visitors. All right, one more, and then I'm going to move on. In the hand in the back. Social activities for our members. Okay. All right, now we're going to move on to opportunities. All right, opportunities are things that we could take advantage of. Where can we, take advantage of to expand, an opportunity to expand or do better? What's available, something that's out there that we've not moved into, but we could? Yes. Bringing in other ministry gifts. Can you explain a little? Such as the fivefold ministry gifts, okay. Yes, ma'am. Partnerships. Anybody else? Yes. Technology. Okay. Yes. The Hispanic community. I'm sorry, say that one more time. Utilizing the media. Did you have something? Oh. Yes. Diversity, we can expand that opportunity. Anybody else before we move on? Connecting with other churches? Yes. The hearing impaired, having services for special needs. Okay. And lastly, we'll move on to threats. What are some things that could possibly do us harm if we don't, address it? Having the right person with the right skill set in the right place at the right time. Yes. Restrictive rules that don't bend. Yes. Being more flexible. Yes. Okay. Being uniform in our processes and procedures, not operating under a one church concept is what she said. Yes. I got you. Finding a way to address stereotypes and negative rumors about us. Losing our identity, losing Faith Chapel's identity. And yes. Okay, what she's talking about is, I think you're focusing on children and teens, but us not having a process in place to seamlessly transition them from the area they're in to the next area, to the next area, to the next stage of life and maturity. Yes. It could be. She's talking about our communication and to do it tactfully and in love, considering the situation at the time. Yes.
Our vision partners are crucial, but a lot of times information is not being transferred or translated. They're just being lost. They're working in the ministry and something happens and it just stops. The information is never translated to the, I I would hate to say the person down
right.
on the bottom.
Okay.
The top knows what's going on, but the bottom doesn't. All they know is it's gone.
Okay, so within a ministry, communication from not only the leadership of that particular ministry, but making sure that every person in that ministry is fully informed. Mm-hmm. I saw some hands. Some hands went up and then down again. Yes, ma'am.
Dwelling or focusing or fixating on our past successes and the things that we did wrong. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the things that we've done great in the past so that we're trying to stay where we were and not embracing.
Right. She's talking about getting caught up with past successes and letting that kind of stonewall us. Hand in the back. Yes, ma'am. Right. So getting rid of or expelling that traditional church mindset. And yes. Okay. Getting too large to the point where you no longer see the individuals, you concentrate on the larger number. Growing too large to the point where you forget about the specific individuals and focus mainly on the group large number. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay, so legalism and being too close to it and not trusting the Holy Spirit?
That is in others.
So a controlling spirit, so to speak, and not trusting your teammates or partners as much as you should, knowing that they have the Holy Spirit as well. Okay, not trusting the Holy Spirit that's in another person.
Or those that you lead or those that you teach.
Right, that's in others. Oh, okay. Well, you can tell yours as well. We do want to hear it. Yes. Right. Right, doing a better job at cross communication in within the different ministries. So from ministry to ministry communication.
I would like to say scheduling for the faithful workers.
Okay.
Because the faithful workers, the ones that does all the work, they're the ones that's going to do all the work. And sometimes there's scheduling is a bit much.
Right.
You know, taking in consideration that they need to have time for their family. They need to have time for themselves, and a lot of workers are overworked, but they don't voice it.
You right. So being careful to avoid overworking your faithful workers just because they are faithful, and making sure helping them be accountable to have a balanced life.
Yes,
yes, ma'am. Okay, avoid forming cliques. Okay, well, I think I'm going to take about one more and then we're going to wrap it up. Yes, ma'am.
Being so focused on time.
Okay.
And being led by the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit have his way and events, you know, that we're having, you know, just cut it off and the Holy Spirit is continually trying to get a message to us. But we're so focused on time that we don't hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to say.
Okay, so focusing less on time and letting the Holy Spirit have more freedom.
Right.
Can I get clarity? Are you talking about in the workshops like this? Are you talking about in services or just
both?
Okay.
Always being led by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Right. So making sure that rules we have from the past are either updated and communicated or still in effect. Yes. So being mindful that we, the processes we have, being in tune with the Holy Spirit, with our programs that we're doing,
if you make a statement, that's it. The Holy Spirit has spoken.
Okay. So not going too far just to go too far. Okay. Okay. So not adding extras if they're not needed. Okay. All right. Okay, for real, okay. I think everybody has, now you have a practical idea, you have a practical example of how this works. How does the SWOT work? What is it for? How should I be using it? Now you can go ahead and apply it to your life. You can apply it to your ministry. You can apply it to your job and every other area that you can. But now you see how it practically works and looks. Thank you.